Welcome everybody to our online session. We will usually start this online session with about 10 minutes of sharing, which means that anybody can share something about their practice, you know, like what you have experienced in the past 24 hours. So sharing the way you have been practicing and what you have noticed or something surprising that you experienced, maybe something saddening. It can be anything. And don't think, you know, it has to be some amazing, exceptional experience that you have made. It can be quite ordinary and common. But just the fact of sharing with the others, you know, creates a bond or a connection with the others as a group. And yes, raise your digital hand, or if you're not familiar with that, unmute yourself and start to talk. But now we have Linda, please.
Hello. I just wanted to say that I was listening to the Cultivating Metta online discussion that, you know, we're supposed to listen to. And I'm walking and I'm thinking, well, when I have my meeting today, I've got to talk about the fact that I am so exhausted. I just feel like I can hardly, you know, like get into, you know, sleeping. And then you were talking about the five hindrances and it was like, boom, sloth. And it made me feel so good, and I really appreciated it so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Yes, Susan, please.
Susan, you need to unmute.
Thank you, Linda. I am just actually awed by the amount of courage it takes to do this practice. I've done it for a long time. I've done this retreat several times. And it never ceases to amaze me that what it really takes and how the edges just come right at me. I guess, as they say, she persisted. We persist and we keep going. So, it's good to have a little bit of experience to know, to remind myself that I'm here to meet my edges and to not be comfortable. I will not be in charge and to keep going.
Thank you, Susan. And then we have Swanet. Please. Swanet, are you there? It's your turn.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, okay. I would like to say hello to everybody, because yesterday I wasn't able to join, and today is also a little on the road day, but I am looking forward to practicing for the second part. So, thank you.
Thank you, Swanet.
How to raise the hand digitally, so I hope it's possible like this.
Yes, please go ahead, Marieke.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I was yesterday we started and I was in a good mood, but then in the evening I got problems with intestines I had before, and it came back, and there was a lot of pain and unpleasant. Well, your suggestion was to ignore it, wasn't possible at all. And I saw how, well, I was trying to practice metta, but the state of mind went down and I could see it. Oh, yes, yes, there is a restlessness, there is anger, not willingness. So in that meeting, that again with metta, it was really very interesting. And then I said I could make such a hard thing to put on the intestines, and it went a lot better. But mostly, I think, because recognizing and really practicing the metta, not the resistance against the painful feeling. It was very interesting practice. Today, when I woke up, it was gone again, so I was happy. Yes, really interesting. Metta anyway, you know, metta.
Thank you, Marike. And now there's Marcelo having his hand up.
Yes, hello everyone. I like that one. No metta what? That's a good one. So yeah, I've been practicing mainly or especially like daily activities, and really try to not get too deep into my thoughts. And so whenever like a good thought came up, or like an enticing thought, I try to catch myself early and be like, may I be at ease? And then whenever like a judgmental thought or not like an unwholesome thought comes up, like I am, Viranyani said, may I be at ease anyway. That helped me a lot, the anyway. And just basically balancing those two during the day. And a question came up, like at the Dhamma talk, somebody translated something and it was like, yeah, you can practice metta like all day, every day, but like not if you're overcome by tiredness or sloth or torpor. And I didn't really get the reason for that. Like, is that because it just won't work then, or is it just, I don't know. Yeah, if somebody can expound on that, that'd be great.
Thank you, Marcelo. Here in this space, in this sharing, we do not take questions, we do not answer questions. You would need to put it later on. And Melissa, please.
To say hello, also greeting everybody. I couldn't come yesterday. Thank you for accepting me so last minute. I feel really joyful to get to do this practice with everybody, and so grateful to you for offering it. So just thank you, and yeah.
Thank you, Melissa. So then with this, I hand over to Ivy Ragnani, who will continue.
Thank you, Aria. So we begin this practice, this retreat, entering the stream of the retreat. Maybe some of you gradually, maybe some of you continuing the momentum from the first metta retreat in January. And yesterday, Aria offered a really beautiful, concise roadmap of where this practice goes. And basically what it does. And I wanted to take off from that. She spoke about how we cultivate metta here in our own hearts. And this is so important to understand. Because the world is going to be the way it is. A few of you said in your sharing today, yeah, anyway. It's one of my favorite expressions. May it be at ease, anyway. No matter what. Metta is a natural state. As Aria said yesterday, it's not alien to us. It's not something we overlay on ourselves. It's not something we create and kind of plaster on our personality. But really what this practice does, as Aria laid it out yesterday, and as we will be doing through this time, is that it gives us access to this natural state, the practice. What we live in our normal, conventional, busy lives is often other than that. So we think, oh, yeah, I can't access this metta. Too busy, I'm too preoccupied, I'm too full of anger, whatever it is. It may seem that the metta is separate from us, alien to us. But really, what's happening is there is a strong habit that gets in the way, that's all. Some strong habit of our personality. Caused by conditioning, caused by circumstance. A habit of anger, irritation, judgment. Greed, separation. These states are basically what we call in Buddhism the three unwholesome roots. Lobha, delusion, moha. I mean, lobha, greed, moha, delusion, dosa, anger, irritation, ill will. And there are variations of this that cause us to lose connection with the metta that is natural in the pure mind. These obscure what is natural to us. So we take up this practice to train the mind, to purify the mind. And these are two quite separate things that we'll talk a lot more about. We're training the mind to more easily access metta in more and more difficult circumstances, to incline towards metta and away from dosa, lobha, moha, aversion, greed, attachment, disconnection. So we incline towards metta and away from these other states. And it purifies by revealing and healing our old habits of conditioning, tendencies, dramas, by increasing resilience, by allowing us to have more and more space around reactivity. As Marika said, it was so beautiful, this example. It's like, yeah, there's this resistance. There's this, I don't want to do it. There's this the pain, you know. But having metta towards that state and towards ourselves in the midst of that is what allows us to relax and find ease anyway, no matter what. So we become more resilient and more connected. It just decreases disconnection, isolation. These habits that are often protective of just this, like, holding the world at bay. And as Aria said yesterday, this whole process is quite systematic. And this is one of the joys of it. It's not random. You can really see how the mind changes as you go deeper and deeper and deeper into the practice. For the first time, the second time, the 10th time, the 100th time, each time we go through this series of beings for whom we radiate metta, we see how the mind changes, how the heart opens, how we can access this natural state of metta. And we begin, as you have been doing, and as you know, with ourselves. Because this is the one place where we have a direct and experiential understanding of wanting to be happy. That direct and experiential understanding of well-wishing. Wishes for health, for happiness, for peace, for contentment, safety, directly, immediately. We all want this. People are sometimes confused at the beginning of the metta practice, saying, I can't love myself. How am I supposed to use this as a basis for the rest of the practice? But please understand, you might not like what you encounter in yourself. You might be full of judgment and resistance. That's okay. Can you wish yourself well anyway? That's all. And it's so simple. The simplicity of this state cannot be underestimated. So each one of us understands what metta looks like for ourselves. When we're tired, we rest. When we're hungry, we eat. When we get sick, we go and we take medicine. And we're not saying to ourselves, may I be healthy? May I be happy? May I be at ease? But that's where that action is coming from. It's as simple as that. And in the practice, we take that natural wishing and we articulate it with this short phrase that you've been using. Short, simple, in your own language, as Aria described yesterday. Something that you can connect with. Because this whole practice is about connection. So connecting with the meaning. And yeah, maybe, you know, it's boring. It feels robotic. That's okay. Just keep going and as best as you can. Know, simply knowing what you're wishing for yourself. And gradually, as we do this, we begin to find access to that natural state. With connection and repetition. We find our way into it. And that's the practice unfolding. That's the manifestation of the deepening of the practice. And we begin with ourselves because we have this direct experience. And as we find this connection, then we open to other beings. And in this practice, we'll be using instructions, as Aria said, that come from the Visuddhimagga that say people, other people, people in other categories, as Aria described. But And here's where it's a little, you know, non-traditional, but it's possible to radiate metta to beings who are not human as we go through these categories, if you find it easier. The point is to find beings in these categories with whom you can connect. But because they are not us, obviously, we don't have that direct experience of well-wishing. And we use this understanding, oh yeah, just I want to be happy, as an empathetic bridge that allows us to find that connection with other people as the object, just as I want to be happy. So may you be happy. And to says in the texts and one of the chants we do, to all as to myself, in the same way as I want to be happy, healthy, safe, protected, whatever it is for you, so may others be happy. It can be a long journey. And this is why this, many of you have done many retreats, and you know for yourselves probably what it is to go through these, this sequence of categories many times. Each time we go through it, if we're really sincerely engaged in the practice, we find new depths. We find new depths of connection and new depths of disconnection. This is the purification. This is the training. And this is natural. So when we find disconnection, it's natural as we go through the sequence of categories, it can get difficult. That's actually the practice working. We just patiently keep going, re-establishing that access to this natural state of metta, where it's a little harder and a little harder and a little harder, and then maybe a lot harder. So it feels sometimes going through the sequence is like entering a body of water that might be uncomfortable, and we come into it slowly, and then begin to get a little more comfortable and get a little deeper and a little deeper and a little deeper. And eventually we're swimming comfortably. So when we're radiating metta for ourselves, using ourselves as the object, or when we're radiating for other beings, other people, one thing to remember is the proximate cause that's described in both the Visuddhimagga and the Abhidhamma for metta to arise is seeing the goodness in another. And this is so important because everybody has something about them that's good. Everybody. Even the worst beings on the planet. And seeing that causes a natural tenderness to arise, that natural well-wishing. And it's the some beings, the vulnerable amongst us, where we can most easily access the natural opening that we experience. So with children and cute animals, we see the goodness and then, oh, may you be happy. But when we access the boundlessness of metta, we have that tenderness for all beings, whether we like them or not, whether they're good people or not, whether they've harmed us or not, whether they're beautiful or not, whether we see them or even know they exist. Metta for all beings is profound because there's so many beings. We don't even know exactly who those beings are, but may they be happy anyway. So we open gradually to this in this practice. by step, connecting, recalling the goodness. So today we'll be working with part of the time with the first category of other beings, the respected person or the benefactor. And in this category, that seeing of the goodness is predominant. There's somebody who has benefited us, who has enriched our lives, who brings up a sense of respect, appreciation, gratitude. A teacher, parent. Some people even use grandchildren, animals. But really to find a being, and taking a moment before we begin to practice, to see who naturally arises for you in this category. Somebody whose goodness is easy to connect with, because this makes it easier for the metta to arise. And again, remembering, we're cultivating metta in our own heart. So a common thing that people experience is the thought arises, well, ugh, that person, you know, they're highly realized spiritual being, they don't need my metta. Sure they do. They're living beings. All living beings need metta, no matter how realized they are or advanced they are. And the metta is not ours to own anyway. So it's nothing to do with this small personality that might be difficult to live with, but to the boundlessness of the pure heart that we all can access. So it's not ours. It just naturally goes out to all beings. And one last thing to remind you of is the importance of connection in this process. As I said, metta is about connection. This word is, well, it has many meanings. But when we cultivate metta, it's very important that we are mindful of the beings for whom we cultivate the metta, whether it be ourselves or another. So holding them in the mind, bringing them to heart and mind, if it's another person, and being aware of that. And the phrase. So repeating the phrase and simply know what you're saying, so that it's not just a repetition of random sounds in your mind silently. Knowing what you're saying. And if, as can happen, it's very common, if the phrase becomes mechanical and kind of rhythmic, going in the background while the thoughts come into the foreground, take a moment to slow down. Slow the repetition of the phrase down. So not, may I be well, happy, and peaceful, may I be well, happy, and peaceful, may I be well, happy, and peaceful, not like that, but may I be well. And pause. Take a moment to really, oh yeah, well. Yeah, happy, peaceful. So connecting with the meaning and connecting with yourself or this benefactor again and again and again and again and again and again and again. We incline the mind towards metta, even if we don't experience it. It's that inclination which is the training. So bringing the mind to this single place of focus again and again and again, whether you feel anything whether you can easily connect, whether you, anything, no matter what. So let's do the practice today. We'll start with ourselves, just to give you a kind of a heads up of where we're going with this. We'll start with ourselves. And then about halfway through, Aria will ring the bell. I'll ask her to please ring the bell about halfway through the sitting. And that will be your cue to close gently with yourself and bring this benefactor, this dear, beloved, appreciated being to heart and mind. Another thing to say about choosing somebody, you don't have to know this person personally. You don't have to have a personal relationship with them. They can be somebody, like many people, for example, use the Dalai Lama. But somebody who has benefited your life, who causes a natural appreciation to arise. So halfway through the sitting, bringing this person to mind with either an image or a felt sense, and using the same phrase as you used for yourself. And if you like, you can in that moment say, well, just as I want to be, so may you be, just as a bridge. And then continuing with this dear friend, or I mean with this benefactor. So please make yourself comfortable. Finding a posture that's relaxed and at ease. And taking a few moments at the beginning of the sitting to directly connect with yourself. Bringing a friendly, gentle awareness to yourself sitting here. Perhaps connecting with the breath. Or the posture of the body. In an easeful, open way. And when you're ready, beginning to cultivate metta for yourself in the same way as you've been doing. Using this short, simple phrase in your own language. Inclining the heart over and over to this well-wishing. Now closing with yourself and bringing to heart and mind a respected person, somebody living, somebody whose goodness is easy for you to see, to connect with. Bringing them to the heart with either an image, if you're visual, or just a felt sense, if you're not. And just as I want to be happy, so may this benefactor be happy. Using their name, and repeating this same wish as you had for yourself. Again and again, connecting with this benefactor. Silently repeating the praise. And simply knowing what you're wishing for them. And again, and again, and again. So for the next 24 hours in the practice, in the formal sitting and in the formal walking, continue in the same way, beginning with yourself for half the time, and halfway through switching to this benefactor. And really just being patient with the process. In your general activities, continuing to cultivate metta in a more open, fluid way, free form metta. So either for all beings or for yourself or for whomever you happen to be in the room with or whoever you might see on your walk, just keep inclining to the metta in your general activities as often as you can remember to do that. And please don't worry if it's patchy. It's just part of the process. It may be. Just whenever you forget, start again. So, with that, I leave you and turn you over to Aria, who will answer any questions you might have about the practice and lead us in the chanting today.
Thank you, sister. And so now the space, the room is open for your questions you have. Yes, Helena, please.
Yesterday, you told us that we should keep the sentence short. Is this important? Because normally I have a sentence of about six things. And I was wondering why I should keep it short.
Yes, thank you, Helena. To keep the sentence short helps to really deeply connect with the meaning of the few words that you have, and it helps to deepen concentration. So long sentences, or sometimes people say I have four sentences, you know, then a lot of the mental attention goes to keep the phrases right one after the other, or you know, to keep the long sentence with the six different things in the right order. So to really dive into just this connection or the inclination towards the goodness, towards wishing happiness or peacefulness or ease. So that really helps when the sentence is short. Maybe at the beginning of the practice, it's not yet so obvious, but as you get deeper, then you will notice that, you know, so many words, it's just too much mental activity. And it stands in the way of really connecting deeply to the quality of metta. Is that clear?
Yeah, for me the trouble is just because I'm used to the other sentence, I always mix it up. That's a bit.
Well, experiment, you know, see how that goes in the practice, you know, doing it as you are used to, but then maybe noticing, yeah, what happens, and maybe after some time you can drop one word. So, you know, take it as a process, take it as an experiment. All right. Then, Helen, please.
I have a question. Maybe it's not relevant, but it's it kind of worries me a bit because I wonder why this happens. I have these crying floods, and I don't know what they are about, these tears, and they just happen and then it's gone and then it comes again, and I'm like, wow, this is day one. And I felt the need to maybe I just want to hear it's normal. What is this?
Yes. Yes, thank you, Helen, for bringing this up. And, well, as you say, you know, it can happen. And, you know, Aya Viranyani, in her reflections, has talked about this process of purification. So, you know, it brings up quite a bit or lot of emotional responses to it. And so the crying can be part of that purification process. You know, something that just brings up these tears, you know, it's overflowing. And so do not worry about it, you know, just acknowledge it. It comes and flows and then it stops and then another maybe wave of tears comes. So let it happen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So then we have Christine.
Hi, everybody. You know, Aria, I'm curious about why, what speaks against using the second person when we do metta for a benefactor, the second person address, like, may you be, have ease and peace, as opposed to may he, she, or they have ease and peace.
Yes. Thank you, Christine, for bringing this up. As we have said both yesterday and today, metta meditation, the cultivation of kindness, friendliness, whatever, is something we cultivate in us, in our heart and mind, and the other person, the benefactor, the dear person, whoever, is just an object for that cultivation in us. And as we have also said, it's not sending the metta to the other person to make him, her, them happy and well, but it's just the object to do it in us and, you know, with that do this purification work. And so using the word may you be happy and well, you know, has a big tendency that, you know, we send it or we want you, the other person, to be happy and well. May you be happy and well. So, you know, it's this direction of sending it out to you, to the other person. And so, you know, to keep the practice in us, cultivating metta in us, we say, may my teacher, may Peter be happy and well. So that keeps it in us. It's our wish that this person be happy and well. Good. And then Monique, please.
I used the wrong button, but I'm here. Hello, everyone. I choose as benefactor my aunt who died last week and who has a funeral from here yesterday. But then I heard Aya say, her last sentence is, a living person, and I saw it also on the chat to everyone. I choose her. I try. And my aunt was as a mother for me. And her funeral yesterday was very beautiful. Also said it's all very beautiful. And it's so, I find it so nice that a whole person comes to life during all the speeches and music from here during a funeral. That's so beautiful. And I feel I wished her metta, and I say then the words, may you feel well, happy and peaceful in the light. And I feel my heart is warm, and I feel easily a tenderness. So it's easy for me, but if you say, no, it's not the right, then I drop my hand. But I certainly will, it's great for me to go on with here, because I listen to you.
Yes, thank you, Monique. So the instruction is to cultivate the metta for a living person, a living being. So that, you know, there is this person, this being out there in the world. We know this person, this being is living. And this has an effect on our metta cultivation, which is difficult to understand on an intellectual level. Especially, you know, when we go deeper into the practice. Metta for a person who has passed away, like your aunt, you know, most likely this person is now a different living being, and we don't know where, in which realm of existence. And so this makes it, you know, more difficult to have a clear sense of who this person is. You know, in your case with the aunt, you have the memory of this person who has been like a mother to you. So all these memories in regard to these persons are there. And cultivating metta for your aunt, it's kind of cultivating it for the memory of who this person was when she was alive. Cultivating metta for persons who have passed away is possible in a more general sense, you know, like when you cultivate for all living beings, then this person is included somewhere, somehow, as a living being. Or, you know, taking one person who has passed away, let's say your aunt, the metta will not get the same depth as when it is practiced for a living being. And there are stories in the commentaries to the scriptures, but I have also heard from people, practitioners, present-day practitioners, who have experienced the difference between cultivating metta for a teacher still living and then not knowing that the teacher has passed away, but somehow the metta, the practice was not going well anymore. And maybe Ayavi Ranyani wants to relate an experience she had in the days to come. But, you know, to be short now for your question, Monique, as a formal practice, you know, choose a living being and you can cultivate metta for your aunt, you know, in a more general way.
Okay, Aria?
Yes?
I missed half of your answer because internet throwed me out. Now she throwed me again in, but I will do as you say, but I have
now you are all garbled up. I cannot understand what you are saying. So I will get
strange that I have a direct connection with my aunt in
Monique, I will get to you personally. So I will contact you.
It's okay.
And then yeah. We can discuss this matter.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. So now I would go to the metta chants. And I want to begin with the metta chant on page 1. The traditional metta chant in Pali. And in this chant, we go one time through the whole chant and then we start again until the end of the second paragraph, Kammasaka. That's the end. Let's start. Sabbe satta, sabbe panna, sabbe bhuta, sabbe pugala, sabbe atabhava pariyapanna, sabba itiya, sabbe purisa, sabbe ariya, sabbe anariya, sabbe deva, sabbe manusa, sabbe vinipatika, averahantu, abhyabhajahantu, anigahantu, sukhiyatanam pariharantu, dukkha mocchantu yatha lada sampatito ma vikacchantu kamma sakha purati maya disaya pachi maya disaya otaraya disaya Dakinaya disaya, purati maya anudisaya, pachi maya anudisaya, utaraya anudisaya, dakinaya anudisaya, heti maya disaya, upari maya disaya sabbe satta sabbe panna sabbe bhuta sabbe pugala sabbe atabhava pariya panna sabba itiya sabbe purisa sabbe ariya, sabbe anariya, sabbe deva, sabbe manusa, sabbe vinipatika, averahantu, abhyabhajahantu, anigahantu, Sukhiyatanam pariharantu dukkhamocchantu yathalada sampatito mavigacchantu kammasakha. Now let's go to page 6 in the middle. That's the chant in Sanskrit. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. The very basic metta wish: may all beings in all the worlds be happy. Do it a number of times. Loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. 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 And we will end with the Burmese metta chant and sharing of merits on page 2. We'll do the 4 aspirations in Burmese one time and then the sharing of merit 3 times. We'll begin. Alon tatawadvi jamma chabasi chanda chabasi kosiya ginjabasi seisiya ginjabasi asasa ayaya asimpi chabasi. Ahmiya, 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 yudha moja bakolo, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Ahmiya, 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 yudha moja bakolo, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Ahmiya, 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 yudha moja bakolo, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So with this, we have come to the end of this online session, and today we will start with the group interviews. Ayaviranyani has group A, and so you need to go to her Zoom link, into her Zoom room. And I have group D, like Doris, and you can stay here on this Zoom link. And let's start the interview groups in 5 minutes from now. So have a very short break and then come into the interview group. Group A with Aya Viragnani, group D with me. And for the rest, practice is going on. Well, for all of us, practice is going on gently, persistently, patiently, cultivating metta for us and this benefactor for the next 24 hours. Thank you and bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.